You're listening to Cruisin' with Anita, live aboard Bahamas Paradise Cruise Lines, a better way to get away on 95.9 and 106.9 FM, the True Oldies Channel. Cruisin' with Anita is sponsored by the Palm Beach County Tourist Development Council.
I feel like Florida. I feel like Florida today.
Now, here's Anita Mitchell.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cruising with Anita. Glad to have you out there tonight. I've got a truth in advertising. As most of you know, we pre-record this wonderful show because I have wonderful guests on Friday from the ship. Today, we're broadcasting from the Grand Celebration. So even though you're going to hear it on Thursday, I want to wish you a happy Hearts Day, a wonderful Valentine's Day. May love be with you. Not the force. May love be with you for the year. Today we have a wonderful treat back, and for those of you that are pretty constant listeners, I got a lot of response the last time I had Kingsley Guy on. Kingsley is an author, among many other wonderful talents. He was a very long time editor, senior editor at the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel for many, many years, and then after he retired, if there is such a word for Kingsley, he went and used his wonderful writing skills and has had two fiction books about Egypt that are really entertaining. And the one that you responded to was the last time I had him on, was his latest book called Piercing the Veil, A Skeptical Journalist Discovers Unseen Worlds. And there must be by the way, we're having a psychic cruise, Kingsley, in April. And we're having a very well-known psychic, so maybe we should have you back. In the meantime, I want to welcome Kingsley Guy back to the show because I want to know what he's been doing since last he absolutely entertained and plucked my consciousness, if you will, and got me going thinking about wonderful exploring things that we don't get to hear about very often. So welcome back.
Thank you, Anita. It's a pleasure to be here again on this beautiful ship on this beautiful day. So appreciate the invitation.
Oh, no. You were a big hit.
So what am I doing? Well, I've been doing a lot of radio shows in various parts of the country. I haven't been there to various parts, but doing call-in radio shows to various parts of the country. I've also, it hasn't been published yet, but my starting a blog where I'm going to talk about spiritual issues, as my book Piercing the Veil is about, and also have in the works a YouTube channel that I'm planning to start and talk about spiritual ideas. I think in this day and age,
Could use a little of that.
We could, a little reawakening. Piercing the Veil is a brief memoir of some of the amazing events that took place in my spiritual journey that I didn't know I was going to embark on, but ended up embarking on it, and just opened a whole new vistas for me in understanding of the nature of reality and the reality of different realities.
Well, what I gleaned among many things when I've talked with you and had you on the show and then off the air is that you really turned the telescope around, didn't know you did, but isn't that kind of what a journey is about? You really don't know you're doing it until you're in it.
And when you're in it, you're saying,
what am I doing here?
What am I doing here, and how did this happen? I'm very upfront about this. At age 40, I discovered I had an addiction to alcohol. And many people, matter of fact, most people, in order to deal with addictions, often start out on spiritual journeys. And it was a life or death situation for me. And I opted for life and started out, went over. Oh, boy, it's taken me around the world, taken me to India, to Egypt, to different states of consciousness. Just an amazing journey. My book doesn't preach any kind of dogma or anything. It just relates events as a journalist of what amazing events that happened to me throughout this.
Yeah, but in between time, you became a skeptical journalist. So somewhere between the ghost that you didn't really think much about in your room,
yeah,
to 40 years with the Sun Sentinel and an excellent journalist, I might add. Mm-hmm. In fact, I wish you were talking to many of your fellow journalists today to say, could they really begin to do journalism like we should be doing it? Which maybe we'll bring you back on. That's a whole other subject.
All right.
So the leap, you met who? What even the alcoholism, AA has this very spiritual base. And
yes,
so the Serenity Prayer, all one day at a time, mm-hmm. all those things. But what took you to...
That got me into it, but back when I was a student, I returned home by circumnavigating the globe, and that put me into India. And I was absolutely fascinated by India, and some of the events that happened to me in India at that time, just amazing. There was an event, I remember, I'm outside the Golden Temple in this ancient city of Varanasi, considered to be one of the oldest cities on earth. It's like Jerusalem to Christians and Jews and Muslims. It was just a very spiritual city. And I'm standing outside the Golden Temple that I can't go into because I'm not a Hindu. And I feel somebody jostled, and an old woman hands me a fistful of flower petals and takes my hand and puts it into the mouth of a sacred cow. And the cow gobbles the flower petals. And, boy, I just sent a jolt of, I'm not sure what through me, a jolt of energy, a jolt of, boy, I could be, this could be 500 years ago. The Buddha preached his first sermon right near here. I could be back then. It was just an amazing sense I had, and I vowed at that point to someday return to that very spot and feed flower petals again to a sacred cow. And when I embarked on this spiritual journey, I said, now's the time to do it. And I went back, and on the banks of the Ganges, had another amazing experience on the banks of the Ganges that I relate in the book that just said, hey, there are worlds out there that we don't understand, but they do exist, and they interact with us and affect us and lead us in specific directions.
How did you carry that from the eyeball in, as one friend of mine that I was very close to put it, from the eyeball in, to ending up with the Sun Sentinel being a reporter mm-hmm. and yet being objective and cynical as good reporters should be?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't editorialize except on the editorial page. Your writing was what I learned in school, like it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Report the news. Not, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, I was, from age 40 on, I was sort of living a double life in many respects.
Well, you did it well.
It's one of those things that some of the events that happened to me, and some of them get, and I'm sure we'll get into them later about Edgar Mitchell and such, but some of the events that happened to me just defied the laws of physics, defied everything that I had been taught about the sciences, I really couldn't talk about them when I was, not publicly anyway, when I was working for a daily newspaper.
Yeah,
I
mean, but maybe that daily newspaper, maybe your journalism, the ability to ask good questions might have really been very helpful in this journey.
That's a good point. And I come at piercing the veil, I come at it as a journalist. I am not saying, I'm not trying to preach any kind of spiritual dogma or religious dogma. I'm coming at it from the point of view of this is what happened. You can believe it, you cannot believe it, but this is what happened. Some of the events defied the known laws of physics that I relate in that. The known laws, I point out. Some of the events, it just assured me that there are that in this material world, that we there are influences coming from, I'm not going to say outside ourselves necessarily, because I think we're all the sense of oneness in this existence, but there are connections with the spiritual realms that influence us and help direct us.
You know, even if there are those of us that haven't been blessed to have had the journey you had,
mm-hmm.
and we just went to my Ohio common sense, why in the world would anybody think that this is all there is? It's kind of like, aren't there life on other planets? Who? I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but logic would tell me that this is a pretty big universe. And as my late husband, Ed Mitchell, used to say, if this is it, then we're in trouble.
A billion planets in the Milky Way and a billion universes. In,
right. As Carl Sagan would say.
So obviously things are going on out there that
And people fear, so therefore we don't open up to. It amazes me. I would think that the wonderment, nobody asks the questions. You're asking the questions by both by your experience in reporting that, but also opening up to other. I mean, I've got a ton of questions. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to answer, but you'll be able to share your experience that might shed some light.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's. I ask myself, why did this happen to me, all of these things? You're familiar with Brian Weiss. He was the Many Lives, Many Masters.
Surely.
Was a book that he wrote years and years ago.
Gosh.
And he was head of psychology at Mount Sinai Hospital down in Miami-Dade. And Many Lives, Many Masters, things happened to him where in his regression, hypnotic regressions of his patients, they started talking about past lives. And he wrote this book and other books dealing with past lives, which as Westerners sounds absolutely crazy to people brought up, most people brought up in the West.
So did acupuncture at one time.
Yeah, but if you were brought up in India or if you were brought up a Buddhist, then this is, well, of course. What's so surprising
so
about
what,
this?
Let's keep it in America, in mm-hmm. the Americans. What is it about our culture that doesn't allow for other possibilities?
I think we a sense of duality. In the Western world, we are very much dualist. I think dating back, the last 300 years, certainly, God is God and man is man.
Never the twain shall meet.
Well, you take science and you look at science and spirituality, then, well, that's something different. And I other cultures are not so inclined to separate the material from the spiritual. They're more inclined to look at it as a
totality.
Maybe
that explains our wonderful adolescent United States, as wonderful as we are. We're a little clumsy sometimes. We also aren't as well-traveled as the Europeans are, mm-hmm. and we don't have 1,000 years of a building that we can look to. And I want to come back and talk about Einstein a little bit because this was his next journey. Had he not lost him, so we're going to take a little minute and do this thing that America does so well called capitalism, and then we'll be right back. Stay close. We're going to come back with Kingsley Guy and Piercing the Veil.
You're listening to Cruisin' with Anita on 95.9 and 106.9 FM, the True Oldies Channel. This program is brought to you by the Palm Beach County Tourist Development Council, who invites you to discover the Palm Beaches and explore all there is to do by watching the palmbeaches.tv. Like it, watch it, share it, thepalmbeaches.tv.
You're listening to Cruisin' with Anita, live aboard Bahamas Paradise Cruise Lines, a better way to get away, on 95.9 and 106.9 FM, the True Oldies Channel. Cruisin' with Anita is sponsored by the Palm Beach County Tourist Development Council.
I feel like Florida. I feel like Florida today.
Now, here's Anita Mitchell.
And we were back with Cruising with Anita, and today my delightful friend, Kingsley Guy, who I've shared on the air with you before, who wrote Piercing the Veil, his latest book, Piercing the Veil, A Skeptical Journalist Discovers Unseen Worlds. And it just is, you know, the half hour is not nearly enough time, so that's one of the reasons I brought him back, because I had such a response from you all out there. And I wanted to talk to you about science and religion and how you bridge religion in a broader sense, how you bridge that those two worlds. Because I remember reading in my travels somewhere about Einstein and how he was going to explore this whole world of unseen worlds, and consciousness was his next big endeavor before we lost him. And I remember there was some kind of a quote, and I may not have it right, but religion without science is lame, but science without religion is blind.
Mm. And as we enter in the 21st century, we start looking at science and we start looking at, we mentioned Einstein and our whole concept of space, our whole concept of time, talking about space-time now changes. You look at with the advent of quantum physics.
What quantum physics is.
Pardon? Tell us what quantum...
No, I mean, what is quantum physics?
If I could understand
it, I didn't say understand it. I just
say, what is it? You start looking at the way the universe operates in the smallest...
molecular...
structure and inside that even.
Do you look at through a telescope? I mean, through a microscope?
Not through a microscope yet. It's so much involved in mathematics and...
Really?
But it it doesn't, what I see with our, the new sciences, certainly relativity physics, quantum physics, the world operates in strange ways. As a matter of fact, Einstein talked about, he spoke of spooky action at a distance when he was talking about quantum entanglement, spooky action at a distance. He's staying spooky, and quantum physics and I think the new physics do not, they don't prove the existence of other reality, or let's say a supreme reality, but they do not contradict it either from what I'm able to glean from it. So I think science, and I think, well, we talked about Edgar Mitchell, one of the things that he spoke of, Edgar, the sixth man to walk on the moon. I think you knew him fairly well.
That I did.
But creating a new paradigm in which the old paradigm of God is God and man is man, the material and the spiritual, different realms, to creating a new paradigm where the two come together and we're able to reconnect with the wisdom of the ages. And I want to point out that your daughter, Kimberly Mitchell, wrote the foreword for my book. And
it blew me away when I didn't realize it. I met Kingsley again. Actually, I had met him in 1978 and didn't even realize it till a mutual friend of ours by the name of John Hurt mentioned his name, and I thought, gee, that sounds familiar. And so it turns out that I had met him when he was at the Sun Sentinel, and then he was nice enough to give me a book, The Piercing the Veil, before he came on the show, and he never said a word. I picked it up, and lo and behold, my daughter had done the foreword, and I want you to know that, you know, yes, I'm her mom, but wow, she did a great job.
Oh, superb job in the foreword. And she mentions about her father wanting to reconnect the wisdom of the ages with what his scientific and technical background to realize that there is a totality out there. There is a unity of some sort that we don't fully understand, but we're exploring, and that it is not contradictory to many of the teachings that have come down to us.
Right, and I think one of the things that I learned in being married to Ed was I met some very fascinating people. The world of science fiction, Arthur C. Clarke, Heinlein, some of the I was blessed to have them in our home and kind of sit as a fly on the wall, which one day I'm going to write a book about, not about me, but just kind of sitting there from Ohio watching all this. And I didn't know, I heard terms like the antimatter world, and we had Dr. Hynek, who was one of the foremost in UFOs. And so just remember, I'm from Medina, Ohio, and I was brand new, hadn't been married dead long, and was kind of exposed to some upside down worlds that really do exist, and I was blessed. I don't know that I understand it, and I keep asking questions, but boy, did it open my mind.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things too, I wrote Piercing the Veil, but prior to that I wrote an Egyptian novel set in ancient Egypt called Queen of the Heavens, and it's about a little girl, actual historical figure, endowed with spiritual healing powers, and she grows up to be queen. And but in my studies of ancient Egypt, you turn back the clock and you look at societies, well, going back in this case 3,200 years, and you can go back even farther than that in ancient Egypt. But you look at some of the iconography. You look at the mythology.
What's iconography?
The images that they create, the goddesses,
icons.
The gods. Yeah. But you look at that, and one of the things I realized in my studies of ancient Egypt, the profound knowledge that these people had of the way the world works. You look at ancient India, and I think there was a very in modern India, a connection between Hindu thinking and ancient Egyptian thinking. But you take the Big Bang, for instance. That's talked about in the Hindu literature. The idea of everything, of consciousness in all things. Now some physicists are starting to ask that question. Is there consciousness in everything? I start asking, is the universe, is there not an intelligence in the universe? Maybe we should look at it, is it an intelligent universe? I think.
Could they spend a little time on planet Earth? And maybe specifically the United States of America at this point.
There's a difference between intelligence and common sense. I think what we need is
a little common common
maybe
sense.
Maybe common sense.
Back to Ohio, the kind country, I think. It's maybe we, you know, I'm wondering if people, we don't get any of this in school. We don't turn the telescope around. We don't, there's a stigma, there's a blind spot, if you will, that that can't exist, that's impossible. Well, I don't believe anything is impossible.
Well, with my some of the things that happened to me, I would have thought were impossible, but
they weren't.
They weren't, and I relate them in the book, and including things appearing apparently out of nowhere. I mean, they appeared from somewhere, but manifestation of solid objects out of seemingly nowhere. And Edgar Mitchell had those experiences too, and he relates them, I know, in one of his books that I've read, The Way of the Explorer, the tie pins that he had lost years before when he was working with Uri Geller.
At Stanford Research, I was sitting on a little bench against the wall watching all this. I don't think I had been... you can take the girl out of Ohio, but I don't think you can take Ohio out of the girl, so... I was just fascinated. I got to know Uri. I had a watch that had stopped. A friend of Ed's of mine had given me this very lovely watch, and it was when the Lucite watches, it was in the 70s, mm-hmm. and I really liked it, and it stopped. And I had it in a jewelry box upstairs, and Geller was staying with us, and he seemed to like to start clocks that didn't work. I know. I'm okay out there, guys. I promise. So I told him about my watch, and he said, go get it. So I did. And I had just met him. Never heard of any of this. They don't have a lot. We watched the corn grow in Ohio. We don't have a lot of this. So I'm in California, and I get my watch, and I go to take it off. And he said, no, leave it on. And he put his hand over it. And I promise, I'm probably going to lose my job over this. But the hands moved to the correct time, and it stayed that way for 2 years.
Yep, and I am one of the reasons that I wrote this book was to get people talking about exactly those things that you're talking about right now. One of the reasons I'm starting my blog and I'm starting a YouTube channel is to get people talking about these things because
and
they are real.
And there's a tremendous interest out there.
Yep.
I know just from this short radio show having you on it. So I'm going to do a little plug. We are having a very prominent psychic on, and the cruise is going to be terrifically fun in April. So I would love it if you came back, number one. But number two, I'm looking to maybe do a book signing of different authors at some point on the ship. So I hope you'll come back and also do that. But it would really be fun to have you on the psychic cruise. I happen to know, I don't know her, but I know of her. She has 11 million followers. She's out of now Miami. And we have booked her. And I think
sounds fascinating.
It's going to be a fascinating. And there's some fun things she does. Like I don't know. I heard that she finds couples and finds out if they're compatible. I'm hoping that we only have ones that are, so we don't have a divorce movement going on. But no, it's going to be a fun cruise, and mm-hmm. I hope our listeners will come, and I would love to have you maybe do a lecture or something.
Oh, it'd be my pleasure to do that. And you mentioned that. Or like I said, one of the reasons I wrote the book was to get people talking about these things, because people may think, oh boy, I can't talk about this. People think I'm crazy. Maybe you are, but maybe not. Maybe these things actually
did
happen.
Well, and what's crazy? What's the definition of crazy? And there's some pretty important people out there that are doing some pretty important work, starting back in the 60s and maybe even before. There's a lot of biofeedback was not thought of as being anything kind of silly. And yet Ed Mitchell worked with Menninger Foundation, and it's now in funded it and funded the research that goes into it, because anything that can be measured can be controlled. So we learned that you could control blood pressure by the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
So now biofeedback, meditation, yoga is part of the mainstream. And I remember in the 70s when I married Ed, that the major media would interview him and say, you're doing what? And my mother from Ohio would say, you're doing what? And I'd say, well, it's kind of the hole in the donut that we're trying to explain. and I love the subject, and there's a lot of people like me that really don't intellectually know, but I want to know.
Mm-hmm. And spiritual healing, absolutely. I mean, amazing events throughout history that we
know. And doctors will tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
And life after life, and dying and coming back, all that. And look at the books that sell on mm-hmm. that subject. Mm-hmm. So half an hour is not nearly enough time with you, Kingsley, but I really so appreciate you driving up here from Broward County and the world and sharing your thoughts with us, because you were a great hit before. And personally, it's a treat for me, so kind of selfishly I had you back. And I hope you'll come back again.
I will. And Piercing the Veil is the name of the book, KingsleyGuy.com. And,
Amazon?
And you can get it at Amazon, and it would be my pleasure to return anytime.
It is a great read, guys, and it doesn't take long. His books on Egypt are fascinating, but I got to say, Piercing the Veil, take a couple hours, and you will turn the telescope around, and it will open a world of lots of questions, which is what I have. And of course, I asked him the question about what quantum physics. I wasn't kidding. I heard the term a lot in 17 years, but I still don't understand what it is and want to know. So thanks for sharing all that your experiences were, and thanks for all you did in the world of journalism. I hope you continue that world as well, because we could use it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. And that is it. I think Mike's telling me my time is up. But I will see you on the radio on Thursday. In the meantime, it is Valentine's Day, so think, love, because thinking counts. Thoughts are real. Thoughts are things I was taught, and now I believe that because I put it into practice. And for those of you that are driving tonight, please be safe. And this is Anita Mitchell wishing you always green lights and blue skies. Bye-bye.